Word.
Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening, y'all?
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there. Beyond the sky, it's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother. Hey, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. No.
You can't fool some people sometimes, but you can't fool all the people all.
How y'all doing, man? This is the movement. One of them, y'all was OG handling that business. And we blessed, man, on Friday to come to the people, man, and give y'all some intel and some support and some encouragement on this continuous movement towards just finding injustice in the Philippines. I ask that those who are calling in and listening, man, y'all give us y'all all you find anything that you take this, that you can do, man, it'll be a blessing to us, you know what I'm saying? We really just need certain people, man, for you know what I'm saying, pay attention to what we're saying, for everything that we're saying is vital, man, for overcoming the struggle to achieve our goal right now. We're on a short show today. We'll be working on an hour and a half, getting off at 7, so I'm hoping that we can get y'all to tune in and share this number and this information, man, for anybody that you know that's willing to listen and discern what we got going on, because it's very vital that we get as many people on board as possible. With that being said, this is the Movement 720. This is a show about empowerment, encouragement, uplifting, inspiration, education. It's for the people, man. You know what I'm saying? We've really been trying to reach out to the masses and get people to know about this show. It was a blessing, man, to have so many callers last week. A major blessing. And I feel like, you know, the more that we have more callers, it's going to allow us to achieve our goals. And our goal is to overcome the struggle as a whole, as a community. And I just want to give a shout-out to all the people that called in, that listened, that participated, that assisted, that called people, that emailed. Everything that they did, man, that was very vital to helping us and assisting us overcome this goal with overcoming the struggle, man. And it's a blessing to have y'all. So I don't want you people to feel like we're not grateful for the help of this. Also, I want to give a special prayer out to Janae's family. She lost a family member. That's why she's not going to be able to call in, man. You know, we got people in real life situations, man, that's really trying to fix that. I support too this much that they give us their support, because this woman has really been in the trenches also and sharing and making calls and talking to people and trying to get things done. And she's very vital part for this movement. So, with all due respect to her and her family, man, we just want to give our condolences right now to her family, man. We appreciate that. Peace in her family, man. It's really important to us, man. Y'all, excuse me, I'm dragging right now. I'm trying to read and talk at the same time. I'm always doing this. But we real people, man. We normal. We're not people that got training in this, that's been doing this for years. No, we're normal people, man, with the will and desire to help. You know what I'm saying? And that's one of the messages that we're trying to get across to the masses. Like, we normal people. There's no fear, no shame, no nothing, you know what I'm saying, involved in what we're doing, man, because we're doing it from the heart. So we want people to feel encouraged by us that, you know what I'm saying, we don't have no special powers or nothing like that. We just have hearts, man, and we care about, you know what I'm saying, the well-being of these guys and everybody else in our communities worldwide. We care, you know what I'm saying, from dealing with this president, you know what I'm saying, playing with our lives to the pillar system, man. It's our focus and our goal to try to find solutions to change these things. And yes, we're just two people, but we have people that link to us that care also. But if we can link more people, if we can understand what I'm saying, if we can link more people to what we got going on, if we can get more people involved to what we got going on, it will truly, truly, truly be a blessing. So guess what? If you got the people that you need to do the things you need to do, you can accomplish the goal that you have. I'm going to say it again. If you got the people that you need to do the things that you need to do, you can accomplish the goal that you have. So with that being said, man, our topic today is fighting for rehabilitation. And we speak in the sense of the penal system. We speak in the sense of trying to get changes and things done about what's been going on within the penal system, from living conditions, poor living conditions, to the food and health, to the medical and health assistance, to legal assistance, to education. I mean, just overall morale. It's crazy, man, because these guys have been, not morale, overall conditions, because these guys are being mistreated for no reason. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've already went across that, okay, they're inmates, but at the same time, they're human beings. It's common sense. You know what I'm saying? Because these people belong to somebody. And obviously, MDOC doesn't care about that. They don't care about the well-being of these guys. They don't care about the total, the overall mental capacity of these guys. They don't care about what these guys go through. They don't care about their families or their loved ones. They do not care. This is a battle that we've been fighting for a long time, and we're not going to give up on it. I mean, you know that right now. We're not going to give up on it, man. We're going to continue to do everything that we need to do to bring about change within the community and the penal system of the city. So, with that being said, man, I just want y'all to tune in, and after the show, I would like for y'all to see the links, you know what I'm saying, that didn't get a chance to see the show. If you're on Facebook with me as a friend or my family, you can go on the link and share the link after the show. Word of mouth, you know, text the phone number, whatever you want to do right now. If somebody would like to listen in to the show and give their input or anything like that, text the number 323-870-3864. That's 323-870-3864. This is the Movement 720. We also have a website that you can go on and leave comments or find out more about our show and our team, past shows, the archives, so things that we're tuned in about, you know, and different things of the community. There's different things, messages and memes and all type of write-ups on our website that gives you more insight about what we are and what we're trying to do. And that website is the Movement 720.site123.me. That's the Movement 720.site123.me. Also, this is blogtalkradio.com/the Movement 720 for those who want to go on the actual blog talk show and see all of our archives. It's listed also on that website too, under the Movement 720. It's very easy to get to. I also have a co-host, Miss Sharon Brown, who's been with for a while with, man, and from the beginning, it's been a blessing to have her on the show as a co-host, man. We've been battling. We've been going through a lot of different things, man, real-life situations, and we hope people understand that, you know, we take time out throughout our day, man, despite what we go through, you know, to make things happen for you and your loved ones. It's rough. It's not easy. You know what I'm saying? I can see we wasn't normal people, but we are. Understand that we go through struggles just like everyone else. And all we're trying to do, like I said, is help and be a vessel, man, to anyone who's in need, you know, as far as coming together, man, and doing something about anything that's being done wrong to our people in our community. And what I mean by our people, that's anybody that's in the struggle. Anybody. You know what I'm saying? So let people know that this is a show that's for the people, by the people. We believe in each one, teach one to reach everyone. With that being said, man, I want to invite my co-host on the show, Sharon Brown. Trying to see if she... Y'all know how I be having these little difficulties in every blue moon. Well, this little call-in board, so y'all bear with me for a second. Sharon, I'm trying to get you on. Please bear with me. Wow, I'm trying to get my co-host on. I would like to speak about some things, too. We gave our information to emails and things like that last week where we talked about it, and we sent emails to certain individuals. There's been a lot of letters that have been typed up for the inmates on the inside, collecting evidence, things of that nature. And I want the people that's listening to know that we are locked in, that we are focused, and we are going to achieve our goal. I would not go against that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you really need to know that we focus on, we really striving to get this stuff done. as soon as possible, because the longer that these guys have to wait, you know what I'm saying, the harder it's going to be to get a resolution for the situation. So, Sharon, you got the bat with me. I'm trying my best to get this, this board working. For some reason, it's giving me all the trouble I can get right now. But there's other incidents that's occurred since we last had our show. And I want to speak up on those things because it's like a slap in the face. But we're not going to allow it to be a slap in the face. We're going to allow it to be evidence. You know what I'm saying? We're going to allow these people to have to deal with the same system that they use to convict and put these guys behind bars, because it's not right for inmates to be convicted of crimes and be, you know, placed in a situation of confinement. And for doing some guys, you know, were doing it for survival. Some guys were doing whatever they did, you know. And, you know, I don't know everybody's story, but the world where if you're wrong, you suffer. Whether it's a slap on the wrist or, you know, a warning or, you know, time or whatever, you know, just life. And we have a God that judges things that we do. And these people are in a position to get rehabilitate guys. That's their job. That's their job to secure these guys. It's their job to make sure their environment is safe, that their food is safe, that they're allowed the proper assistance in all areas, from religion to education to legal to medical. You know what I'm saying? And it shouldn't be to where these guys are suffering the way they are. And, I mean, it's like if we give up, if we stop fighting for these guys, man, I mean, what are they going to do? Because some of these people don't have nobody. And you won't want that to be your child or your loved one in a situation where they have no assistance. They have no help. They have nobody caring. They have nobody reaching out for them, you know, trying to, you know, do anything on their behalf to help them. You know what I'm saying? And I just really want you people to tune in and focus on what we got going on and spread the word. Don't let your, you know what I'm saying, just you sitting there listening be enough. Because we need as many people involved in this as possible. We need as many people tuned in and locked in on this movement as possible, because it means a lot to so many people. It means a lot to these guys that's behind these walls, man, trying their best to be, you know, be a better person and, you know, really take themselves on a level to where they're fit for society. And some of these people were already more fit for society than people that's out there now. And they're needed. You have communities, man, that have, like, youth that have no direction, no type of guidance, no type of assistance. And it's crazy because the neighborhoods are getting worse. The children are getting worse. But some of these guys that are locked up, you have to understand, are able to bring about a change. They're looked at as role models to people. But they can give them a story that can change their lives also just by their own story, personal stories. So I was always told history is a short way of saying his story, and I feel like everybody has their own individual story to tell. So we should be in a position where we should want that. It should be in your heart to want to help, and that's what we do. You know what I'm saying? All the guys, John Gotti, Psycho, Maybach, Lee, K. Rilla Kruger, all these guys, man, they're striving. You know what I'm saying? RC, Chase, and all these guys striving. Everybody they called and texted and inboxed and said, "Look, fam, I'm with you. This is what I heard. This is what I got." You know, these people are vital. These people are people that are veterans and coming together to try to help stop what's going on. Normal people. And we need all the normal people. We need the people that have been forgotten, the people that have been looked over, because they understand. They understand what the struggle is. We're not going to be able to get everybody. We're not going to be able to get all the people in River Oaks and the rich neighborhoods and all that all the time. We're not going to always get their help. So guess what? The world needs their help now and not getting it. So we're not going to gain anything by, you know what I'm saying, allowing ourselves to sit back and wait on help to happen. We have to make a change ourselves. And that's why this show is like paying for a little bit of these guys, because right now that's our fight, and we're not going to give up on it. With that being said, I think I finally got my co-host. How you doing today, Chef? Hello? I don't even know if anybody can hear me right now. This board is really driving me crazy. Where you at, Shay? Can you hear me? What's going on with this board right now?
Hello, Shay, can you hear me?
I'll give you 1 second. What it is about every time we strive to get this thing done, man, that it's difficult. The devil's busy, I say that much, but I'm not going to give up be discouraged at all. Janae had some information from making phone calls this past week to different entities that we're trying to get to reach out and help us. And even though she's not here today, we're going to try to give some insight on that information too. Some things that we found out concerning what we got going on. There's more pictures. There's more emails from these guys making complaints, which is what we need. And we're going to give, you know what I'm saying, these people no excuse to deny these guys that they're right. And we just not finna go through that no more at all. I'm serious. We're going to fight till we can't fight no more. Shay, if you can hear me, please speak, because I'm thinking, I don't know what's going on with these people.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you now. I can hear you now. This boy tripping. I don't even think it was your phone. Have you been listening?
Yes, you just couldn't hear me, so I have to call back in. Everything
okay,
you said is so true. You know, it's time for everyone to come together to try to make a difference in a lot of stuff that we're doing within the penal system. There are so many different groups that's trying to make a change. You know, I would just like to give a special thank you to Mississippi Dreams Prisoner Advocacy. They do have a petition out to stop group punishment, and also the young lady who spearheads that has been in contact for the last 3 days with Ms. Felicia Hall in regards to Ernest Lee. So there are things that, you know, taking place, and we just need for everybody to come on board to, you know, help get some situations either rectified or dismissed. Because how they run the system now is ridiculous. You know, they want, the whole purpose of corrections is rehabilitation, but when you don't rehabilitate the people that you knock away from society, you will return back to society a menace in most cases. But the only way we can change those systems is if we come together, if we work together, if we have patience, if we have understanding. We have to have that. You know, it's so many people that's kind of scattered about, and it's my plan and my goal to pull all those working parts together under one umbrella, to pull in the United States Prison Rights Defense, to pull in Mississippi Dream Prison Advocacy, to pull in Mississippi Incarcerated Families Movement, to pull in Equal Justice Institute, as well as ACLU and STLC in whatever capacity that they can come in to help make those rehabilitation programs what they need to be, and also to change the conditions, not only the living conditions, but the whole total atmosphere of the prison. But it will take, you know, everybody working together. It will take the family members of their loved ones that's locked away to, you know, come together. It doesn't take a lot of effort. It seems like it does, but the small things, you know, that you can do to help out, such as signing petitions, making a phone call, sending an email, that only takes 5 or 10 minutes. You know, even if you don't want to do it, you should do it, because one day, you know, it may be you, and you will want that same understanding. You know, you will want somebody to be, hello?
Give them, say, the intel on that stop group punishment. How to go on the website, and how simple it is. So we can try to go and spread the word on this for those guys in 29 and 30. To try to, cause a lot of them might, you know, a lot of people be scared to put their own John Hancock on. But we need them to know that, like you just said, that it can be anybody. You know what I'm saying? Anybody that they can get to just get on the internet and sign it. So could you like give them the information so they can write it down right now? Because we're trying to get all into it right now.
They can go to Mississippi Dream Prisoner Advocacy. And you will find the petition on their Facebook page. And once you do that, it's just simply name, address, zip code. I don't think they ask for a phone number. I think it's just your name, address, and zip code is what they're asking for. Some petitions vary. I signed so many petitions, I forget some of them. The forms are different, but you can call to your, you know, when you call and talk to your homie, ask them to sign the petition or to give you their information. You know, you don't necessarily, I understand the situation where the guys that are in vulnerable positions may not want to put their information out there, but you can put your mom's name, but, you know, just ask your mom, hey, mom, I got this petition. Can I get your name and address? You know, it's better that they do it, but they don't necessarily have to do it because some people have disabilities to where some persons have to do things for them. So, it, it's just as easy as that. So when we do come together and present the signatures to Felicia Hall as well as sending a copy to Ernest Lee, it's better. We have something to fight with. Because, the one thing that is detrimental that we need to understand the power that the stroke of a pen has. It's power in the stroke of a pen. And those can create rules, regulations, policies, standard operating manual as to how things are done. And a lot of times, you know, when you have things in black and white laws and policies, a lot of times you will find that the powers that be are abusing those policies. And you can say, well, okay, according to, you know, manual number 3, paragraph, section 4, paragraph 5, what you did was wrong. This is how it should be done because it's in black and white. So it solidifies and it validates the things that we are doing. As far as when we show negligence and mistreatment.
So it's
very important. We do have a petition out there to stop that because it's not fair for one person to do something and the whole entire unit gets locked down and you have family members traveling 5 and 6 hours and make it to the facilities and they can't even get a visit because of something else that someone else did, because of something that someone else did. And, you know, that kicks against rehabilitation to me because it's almost like it has been proven that it just creates a mindset of there's no need for me doing anything right when others will do wrong because, you know, it states you have to be responsible for your own actions. At the end of the day, you cannot be responsible for someone else's actions and be held accountable for their actions. And so that's one thing that we have been trying to bring to light as well. And so all it takes is to go out on Mississippi Dream Prisoner Advocacy Facebook page, find the petition to stop group punishment. I will share it on my page my own personal page, Sharon Brown, and I put it back on my page. And so for those who want to go there and sign it, it will be there for you as well to sign it.
Okay. Any more information concerning the ACLU or SPLC? Any progress or any new news or information that we can give the callers and listeners?
Well, right now, it will be premature information. I'm still waiting on confirmation for a solid email address so we can get some of those complaints and letters directly to the appropriate person so things can get started much quicker than, going through different channels.
And do know that we're trying our best, man, to secure these guys behind these walls because, you know, sometimes you can trust people and they don't do the right thing. So do know that we understand that and we do have the well-being of the inmates, you know what I'm saying, that's behind the walls, best interest at mind and heart because we're trying our best to, like, not move, you feel me, before we are absolutely for sure that things are going to go by the terms that we're trying to get them done because, you know, sometimes MDOC throws a monkey wrench in the game. And, you know, what they'll do is when they identify a person that's trying to fight against them, they'll try to put them in a compromised situation. And we're very, very aware of that. So do know that we're fighting, but we're fighting with caution because, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. You know what I'm saying? But it's going to happen, though. Don't get it twisted. It is going to happen, but we have to ensure that we make sure that the security and the well-being of these inmates are you know, first and foremost. So, you know what I'm saying? I want you people to know, parents and those guys, you know what I'm saying, that's able to call in, do know that that's the number one priority, security, making sure that you guys are safe and secure and that you can get your complaints out without having to be in fear of retaliation from MDOC. At some point, you know what I'm saying, just by them being who they are, yeah, they might try to come do a shakedown or whatever they do, but you guys, you know what I'm saying, you stand strong and be firm because we are not singling out any inmates. We are not singling out guys' personal information because, first and foremost, we want to know what can be done. There are some people that are responding positively to the complaints and the firsthand knowledge that we're giving them word of mouth, and they're moving. You know what I'm saying? We have community people in the community that are being told about this, you know what I'm saying, from just our hands, you know what I'm saying, our mouth. And they're interested. They're willing. And they're waiting on us, you know what I'm saying? So we have to make sure that we got all the I's dotted and all the T's crossed because this is a process where if you do make a mistake, they will take advantage of it, you know what I'm saying? And it's going to be detrimental to the well-being of these guys. So with that being said, man, we're going to continue to be safe and secure when we deal with this matter. We're going to be precautious, and we're going to be meticulous about how we go about dealing with this situation. And that's the reason why my co-host is talking the way she's talking because she really cares, man. She doesn't want anything to happen to these guys. So do know that we're doing it the right way. So please be encouraged for all you guys that's listening, for all you people, loved ones and stuff out there that's concerned. Do know that our concern are the inmates behind the wall. We're not bowing down to MDOC. We're not going to allow them to manipulate anything. We will be the one calling the shots and being a manipulator because these guys have been manipulated and mistreated for too long. And if they had any intentions of doing things right, we wouldn't be at this point that we're at right now. So just know that this fight is legit and that we're moving forward and that we're doing things, like I said, meticulously, and we're going to make sure that everything is done the right way. Before we go into a break, I do want to do this right here. I appreciate you, brother, too. I see. I want to try to see if I can get a call in here real quick. Y'all give me one second. All right. Okay, it's giving me that bim that not been built up. Bam. Hello, caller. Can you hear me? Hello, caller. Can you hear me? 901-415. Hello, can you hear me, caller? 901-415. Can you hear me? Okay, I don't think they can hear me. Y'all, bear with me 1 second, y'all. Is this Brother Kruger? Hello? Hello, Brother Kruger, can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me?
What's up, man? Yeah, I can hear you, fam.
What's going on with you? What's going on with you?
I'm sitting there with me, y'all dropping off.
Hey, I want to give a scenario to you real quick while the listeners listening, right? Okay. My reports gave me, I received reports from an inmate that was assaulted by a staff member at MDOC. And this officer is notoriously known for harassment, negativity, arrogance, everything that's unprofessional concerning his responsibilities at MDOC, with the exception of doing a count. We'll give him credit for doing that. But this guy, in every single building that he's worked, has had some type of argument or physical altercation with an inmate. Yeah, he continues to be placed in population areas where he has to deal with inmates. And his attitude is poor, poor, very poor. And he recently assaulted the inmate who did his paperwork. But he didn't do his paperwork, and the officer in the tower didn't either. And, you know, I hate to stay this way, but God's will, this officer turned up, and he ended up assaulting another inmate a few days later, which really gave light to his actual misconduct. And now it's known that this guy assaulted somebody and didn't do his paperwork, but this inmate filed his ARP. So now it's like these people know that he's hiding things. And that's why these inmates start doing their paperwork and wrote statements against this guy. Now, my thing is, under MDOC policy somewhere, I want to ask you this question. If an officer is known to have that type of misconduct and he's assaulted inmates numerous times, and he's also shown that when he assaulted inmate, he would not go by the proper procedures of doing his paperwork, what is the idiot thing that's supposed to be?
He's supposed to be terminated. He's supposed to be terminated. Or they're going to move him in a tower where he can't go in population no more. But it all goes to the disciplinary report. You know, they got a disciplinary file just like everybody else is locked up. It goes in his file and stuff to show his behavior action. And you talking about within twice within a week time, he should be terminated. See, that's what we got to have them outside help for, to put pressure on the administration. As long as it's not getting on the outside, then the administration going to let them keep doing what they're doing, because that's the mind frame they putting in their office, their staff. See, once the ARP been done, they going to bleed the staff like if nothing ain't happened. The staff word going to be over our word. Feel what I'm saying? So what we need is the outside to get wind of this and put pressure up on the staff to ask for his termination. See, that's what we got to start doing, ask for their termination. And start filing these lawsuits, and with the documents and medical records and everything else, it's in our favor. We got to go into court before we get anything done.
Okay, another reason why I asked too, because we have people that's online that's listening to this situation, and I want them to know exactly what they need to do to assist this inmate, because and we're going to try to get him on three-way too, so we can kind of get him to explain the things that occurred, because the warden, from my understanding, the warden herself, even though she admitted to this guy being wrong, her attitude was almost adjacent to the staff member that's been committing this act. And she's been responsible for what we know as being one of the people that's instrumental with moving this guy to populated areas. Now, this guy right here, the officer I'm speaking of, I mean, he like I said, he's had several incidents. And they're allowing him to go around these same inmates that he's having problems with. And the inmates are the ones being punished. The inmates are the ones being wrote up. How is it that you assault an inmate with the inmate right? That you write the inmate up for assault? You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's backwards. And a lot of these people are the powers that be are finding out about this officer, which they overlook. And it's like, don't nobody want to do their paperwork because they're afraid of what the warden is going to do. So, with that being said, I need the public and people to know that there's a lot of inside and underhanded stuff going on. So, calling up here trying to talk to the warden about this guy is not going to get you any type of assistance. You're going to get neck pinching.
You're going to get attitude.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to start with the government. You start with the commission and the government. Them the one you focus on. You know, once you do your documentation filling out the ARP and cause that shift right there won't send the inmate to the hospital or go to the hospital for a checkup, then he need to go, when the next shift come on, he need to go there and then put it in that report. Hold on one sec.
Word. I'm going to try my best to see and get inmate in on three-way to speak up on.
It's all about documentation. So, see, once you get installed, you're making a record to this. So, when you do the AR, you get all your witness and all that. You document it. And then once you... Okay. So, you showed that you've been injured. And see, that's another documentation, something that you can do. And so, when you start putting pressure on it, they something that didn't happen. The medical record, being all the witness, you can make headway.
Right.
We got to document because the whole system is corrupt.
Yeah,
so
paper trail.
Yeah, we got to show paper trail. And to be honest with you, fam, what we need to do is try to do some nano cameras in here where we can put them inside or something, and then when the police start beating up, it recording. Ain't no phone out. So where you can put it somewhere where they can see everything. You know, you might stick it in one
really
or something.
Don't believe to be officers doing this stuff. I mean, either they turn a blind eye to it or they don't believe it. It's crazy, man. There's too much going on for them to be acting like they don't see or know what's going on for these inmates, man.
It's really supposed to be condemned, but it's not. You got mold, black mold all over the wall and everything. It's leaking. You know, wires hanging everywhere. And then when they come and shake down, they tearing the tin up and making it more worse. And you look at the trade, how they speak. They ain't trying to get you that before you have enough energy and strength where you can overpower for this. They put it the way they make it more. So it just is a bad living. They need to take it's just like on our zone. We got two charters and we got 64 guys.
Word.
That's uncivilized.
It truly is, man. It truly is. I need to see if I can. Hold on a second. I need to see if I can get this guy on. I think we got him on finally. I don't want you to give your identity, caller. I just want you to speak. You know what I'm saying, on behalf of yourself and give the viewers and listeners a brief, you know what I'm saying, synopsis of what occurred with you and that officer from when you was assaulted and furthermore.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, I'll hear you.
All right. Hey, how y'all doing today? Oh.
Doing all
right. As of right now, I have paperwork pinned to ARPs and stuff as this sort. But I'm pretty sure they're going to stop my ARP, so I'm pushing even farther. I already have went through the Mississippi Department of Correction Medical Department, and it's been diagnosed already. I've been done, did lab work, x-rays and stuff like that. On August the 3rd, At the time, it was around about 5:40, 6 o'clock, somewhere in there, in between there. And the officer, the said officer, had approached the zone on some strong stuff. Like, he was violating professional conduct, policy number 0301. With that being said, he took it upon himself to come on his own without backup, trying to chase an inmate, and just so happened to run directly into me. So he attempted to grab me and slam me. So I twisted my way out of his grip. And as I did that, he pulled the mace can, which is highly, highly effective. It'll blind you for up to 30 minutes and cause severe pain behind the eyelids, where when you close your eyes, it feels like something is, like, sticking and poking behind your eyelids. Like, you know, it's not a good feeling. It's not a good feeling at all. And as I ran away from him, he attempted to chase me and told me to get down. I complied, and I got down. I told him I wasn't going anywhere. I'm down. My hands was on my head. I wasn't moving. And he took it upon himself to just drive his knee repeatedly into my back, which forced me to get out of his, like, out of his area for him. And I slid underneath a rack. So he grabbed my ankle. He grabbed my foot and used the rack as a wedge and bent my ankle over the rack backwards. And used his chest to apply pressure. He swelled up my ankle. It stayed swollen for at least 3 days. I couldn't walk. They wouldn't give me medical attention. And when the zone stood up, he really got very hostile, like he was going to spray everybody. And he bagged out of the zone. But before he left out of the zone, he just said, "I just want a phone. I just want a phone." After he got his phone, it was said that I was going to be handled accordingly. And he was with that. He wanted the zone to beat me up. He wanted me to be physically harmed after the injuries that he had already lavished upon me. So he went on about his business, didn't do no paperwork or nothing. I took the time to do my ARP, and I'm still doing paperwork now. My medical paperwork that have came back from the Medical Department of Notification Diagnostic Test Results did state that the evaluation that they took on me was outside of normal limits. So I have been scheduled for a follow-up appointment within the next 2 weeks. And the healthcare provider was Angela Byrne. She's the type of person who don't promote this type of activity at all. And for the warden, as me doing my paperwork and getting my paperwork to them, she didn't take the time to make it top priority. So this exact same thing happened to another individual, another inmate, at least 4 days later, with him attacking this specific inmate and me speaking up on this inmate's behalf and trying to stand firm to keep him from harming his inmate. He took it upon himself to apply more force, which led to him being physically thrown off the zone. So I was implicated into an act of assault on an officer. He didn't give me one. He gave me two. He went back and wrote me up for assault from the third, which he didn't report on that day itself. By me having my paperwork in, it led the warden to believe that he's doing underhanded things. And I asked the question. I posed the question about what did he do with the phone that he confiscated off the zone. He couldn't answer that. They couldn't answer that. They had no answer. But they did make me stay in the hole for two nights and half of a day, sleeping on hard floor, no bench, no rack, no sheets, no none of that. Eating cold portions of food where you have to chop up oatmeal and, you know, things of that sort. No bathroom in the cell. They made me suffer this due to the fact that I did my paperwork. They did all this to try to make me think that I'm in bigger trouble than what I really was in, which I wasn't in any trouble. So by a officer speaking up on my behalf, stating that I did nothing wrong at the time that he assaulted me, led me to be out of the hole today. And the warden really handled the situation in a manner where, like, she couldn't believe it. So I was like, yeah, it happened, and I did my paperwork. She stuck me back in the hole for a whole extra day when I really didn't have to be in there at all after being cleared of all wrongdoing. So So this is like violating their own policies. They are dressing it up. They are trying their best to keep things on the route. But me, myself, I'm going to take this all the way to the top. I have all my documentation. I have 21 witnesses standing on my side. Everybody is willing to witness. Everybody's standing up, and nobody is just being silent. Everybody is speaking. And now that the warden knows that this is going on, she says he's going to be fired, and she let me out the hole. I guess she was hoping that I let this go. But if I let this go, what happened to the next inmate that MDOC staff take upon themselves to abuse and misuse and use excessive force against? We have to come together and stop this as a whole. Therefore, I will do my part.
Word. I appreciate you both being courageous, man, and giving your story, man. I wanna say, did you hear that? Are you here, Shay?
Yes, I heard. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm trying to get Brother Kruger on with you, man, because I'm trying to see if he heard that, because I heard several violations and a lot of crook.
I heard several.
That word crookism, bro, if you don't mind. A little crookism. MDOC, because I heard. Hello? But the listeners need to really hear these type of stories so they can see that what type of game these people are really playing here. Serious, man. And for those that's listening, y'all please think.
Hey, I heard different violations, you know, starting for one, even when you they spray gas and everything, they got to know someone's medical history, whether to know he got a bad heart or suffer from asthma and all that. They ain't do that. He just took upon himself to spray, and then when his life was not in jeopardy.
That's crazy.
I don't even know y'all can hear me.
Yeah, we hear you, bro. We hear you.
Oh, yeah. So, and that was one of the bad acts he did. And second off, he didn't follow protocol, was not doing a write up himself. And the inmate just got to be talking, man. He really got a good civil claim. Just he should have had been a way where he can take pictures of his wound himself, where he can document it. But it's good that the medical records show too. I wish we can get a court order where a judge can come up in here or let an expert come up in here and see this.
That's what needs to be done anyway, Kruger. And that's one of the main goals that I'm sharing in Janae and Miss Houston is doing right now, trying to get somebody on the inside that we can trust, because they always use one of their own. But we need people that's not one of their own, that's focused on what's right, come in and just not just take pictures, but to you guys and sit down and get their stories. Because I think once they talk to the first few people, that they're going to have enough evidence they need, fam, to be like, you know what? We ain't gonna, you know what I'm saying? We ain't gonna continue to let them do this. You know, I mean, I really say, are you?
I'm here.
Yeah, we got
to get you that guy's complaint. We're gonna try to get that to you ASAP so y'all can put that with the rest of the complaints. But this has done. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to advise him. Got to continue with every step and process that he's going through to bring some justice to this situation. We're going to assist them through it and fight in that matter, because it was another inmate that was assaulted a few days later. And from my understanding, this guy was in the hole, same area where this guy that just spoke on was at. And they haven't fed that guy in 3 days, man. 72 hours, that guy had been in the hole and hadn't ate. We got a message from someone that said they saw this guy and spoke with this guy, and he sent a message which was a cry for help, saying that he didn't ate. You know what I'm saying? And we contacted his family members, and his family members sent an email to the attorney general. Didn't even really play with it, man. She went, like you said, to the government with it. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we need. We need people to, like, go to people that's going to, that write the checks, that sign the checks for these people, that make decisions on the hiring and firing of the heads of MDOC, because for Felicia Hall on down, we're not going to really get no justice. So we need to know that these politicians and these preachers and these people that have power to go to the city boards and state of Jackson, I mean, to the Capitol and protest, man, we need these people, man, on top of this situation. And we're doing that. We're doing that. We also just, you know, we want y'all to understand that, like, stuff like this really happens, man. And you know what I'm saying? It's crazy because this guy was, like, singled out. I mean, are you peeping that out, Shay?
Yes.
What about filing an assault charge?
Say it one more time.
Okay, cool.
What about filing an assault charge on an officer?
That's right, and that is legal. You can do that. Because according to their standard operating policies, that I mean, they violate their own rules on a daily. I mean, on a daily. And it clearly states, when you were speaking of the gentleman who is in the hole, they cannot withhold food. But, of course, they'll try to say that maybe, you know, come up with some excuse, but it's in black and white. I have read it. That's why it's so important for you. You're just going to have to stand up. You're going to have to just say, whatever it is what it is. Let's get it. Because that's the only way. Because sometimes war is necessary for peace. I believe in that. You know, and I just think that you all, you know, have been humble enough from hearing the many different complaints, not only from you all, but from other facilities across the state of Mississippi. It's just time to stand up. And like the gentleman said, he's not going to let it go, because that is clearly assault. Because if an inmate assault an officer, guess what? He gets charged. He gets additional time added onto his sentence. They are not above the law, and they need to begin to understand that and recognize that. You all are in a position to do your time, get rehabilitated, and return back to society better than, or, you know, to some degree of being a changed man or woman.
It's crazy, man. Man, I want to say this. If these people, it's not funny, because I'm really trying to, like, say it the right way. If these people are righteous or right or justified by not feeding somebody that they are supposed to, that they are responsible for feeding, because they're trying to prove a point, or, in other words, humiliate or humble an inmate, they don't have that right to do that. That's not what prison correction officers are hired to do. It's not their job to humble somebody. As individuals, those guys have a responsibility of humbling themselves. The officers, and I repeat, are hired for the purpose only to secure these guys and make sure that they are in a controlled environment, and that they are provided the things and the systems that they are supposed to have under the standard operating procedures of MDOC, from any angle you want to look at it. You know what I'm saying? You have to understand that these people have a job, or they're really, like, you know what I'm saying? And they're supposed to security guys. Like, you know how a blind person have that walk of saying, dog, that's what this officer is doing. If I can find a better example. In other words, they're supposed to make sure they need everything that they need and that they are safe. But if the officers themselves are providing an environment that is unsafe, if they're making the inmates feel unsafe and uncomfortable, then that's a total contradiction of everything that they pledged to do. And I'm going to say this like I said on the last show. These officers took an oath to protect, to serve, to watch after, to secure in a professional manner these inmates. You know what I'm saying? They're not supposed to do anything outside of that. They're supposed to tell the truth. They're supposed to be honest. And if everything he did is contrary to everything that I just said he's supposed to do. So when they do that, when they do this without saying one word out of their mouth, people have to understand the laws and of a law. Perjury isn't just like we see on our new different TV shows, law, or that getting up and telling a lie. And it's not just that. If you make an oath and you sign it, or you make a pledge and you sign it with the oath, and it's legal, because anything under MDOC, which is the federal and state jurisdiction. So, therefore, they're committing perjury. So, everybody that's listening, understand that this officer that we speak of has committed perjury on several different infractions. And I need y'all to understand that, like, man, they cannot continue to do this. We will not allow them to continue to do this. And we're going to do everything we can in our power, man. Hold on one second, y'all, if y'all don't mind. This is, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've heard all different types of things, but so much the person's supposed to be able to get away with doing. And these people look away with murder, if I can say it the right way. You know what I'm saying? I've never in my life, you know what I'm saying, seen people that don't care about the law. Okay, but watch this, right? I don't even want to go to naming these guys' names, but we all know about police in America. The turn of events. Well, I ain't gonna say turn of events, but this stuff been going on for years, but it's being more publicized now with technology. But what I'm getting to is police brutality. Not changing the direction of what we're going to. I'm giving an example. We have a fight in America right now with injustice with the police department all over America. Abuse, niggas in death where they murder innocent individuals or citizens. And they've been getting away with it. And y'all heard the phrase, hands up, don't shoot. If y'all were paying attention to what this guy's saying, he wasn't resisting. He wasn't being evasive. He wasn't not totally complied. He got distressed. I'm not running. I'm complying. I'm not resisting. He specifically spoke these words to this officer. This officer was supposed to evaluate that situation right then as an inmate. Can y'all hear me? Say, can you hear me? Hello. I don't know what's going on. Y'all got to forgive me right now. Can anybody hear me? Real quick, let me know if you can hear me. Hello? Hello? Check, can you hear me? Can anyone hear me? Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Check, can you hear
me? Hello?
Hello?
I can hear you. The phone keep going in and out.
Can you hear me, Shay?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, this keep kicking me out for some reason. I don't understand that. But moving forward, the hands up, no shoot scenario is basically what this guy exemplified in his actions, and he was still assaulted by this officer. I'm trying to get you people to understand that's listening outside, and I apologize for the gap. This is the same thing that American citizens are complaining about out there in the world now. We can't lose focus on the fact that it's not just going on the outside, it's going on the inside too. And those are the same violations. This inmate did not give this guy any form of threat. He resisted, and he was assaulted. And for that, he was further punished and wrote up for it.
And then, in retrospect, behind this, another inmate was assaulted and it basically solved the bill. You understand what I'm saying? Like, if this is not criminal activity, you know, and being covered up at its best because no report was done, you understand what I'm saying? Now, I don't know what it is. Now, this is kind of worse than, you know what I'm saying? Okay, like, the guy telling the people that was murdered by police in the world, you know, they were saying how the officer was given a slap on the wrist and didn't lose his job and all that, right? Okay, that's the same thing going on here. This guy's still working here. He's still being placed around some of the same assault. That is not policy. They're supposed to be separated. You know what I'm saying? They got this guy still working on this compound where he's assaulted inmates in several buildings. That is not policy. Please understand that. And for anybody that has family members that is incarcerated behind these walls in Portsmouth, you have an officer that's walking around like a maniac. You know what I'm saying? And he's walking around and carrying himself like he's unstoppable. He can't be disciplined. You know what I'm saying? Like, understand this. It's crazy. Okay, what's going to happen next? Is he going to piss the enemy off that he's assaulted to the point to where it's fatal? Or is he going to end up taking the life of an inmate? But then guess what? When that happens, or if that ever happens, guess what? The inmate is going to be looked at as the bad person. Oh, that's all they doing in partial, this and that. Like, they never give the real story. They never give true facts of what's going on. And we're giving you people facts. We're asking, we're pleading that you please contact people, man. Talk to people about this. Talk to the preachers. Talk to the voters, the taxpayers, and let them know that they're spending money, taxpayer, their own money out their pocket, to pay for people to do a certain job, and they're making America worse. Because what if these inmates get out angry with leadership, or authority, excuse me, with authority, in the form of police officers, being that the police officers in the world are carrying themselves in the same way? Do you think he's going to be submissive to these people when he's ever encounters them in any kind of way? Or is he going to think back and reflect back on when he did the right thing and no justice was served? Then what is his actions and reactions going to be? You know what I'm saying? Tell me, what is this guy going to do? You know what I'm saying? Say, I need you to give me the first six numbers of that. Also, if you don't mind. This man, excuse me, y'all. I hate to cut myself off like that, but I don't get this, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, how in the world can the officers be doing the same thing here that they're doing in the world? You know what I'm saying? And it's being noticed, but nothing's being done here. Is it because they're inmates? Because, like I say, if you're a taxpayer and you have a loved one that's incarcerated, or if you have a friend or a loved one that has one that's incarcerated, you're just as responsible as doing something about this as an officer in the world killing an innocent civilian. Because these are civilians also. And some of these guys are innocent. And some of these guys are coming home. You know what I'm saying? And this guy has to be rehabilitated and trying to come home. But guess what? What type of mind frame is going to have dealing with things like this? When you're doing the right thing, you're still being punished and mistreated worse than before. I'm just not getting it all. Say, I'm trying to find my caller real quick. I need the first six digits, if you don't mind. Do you hear me, Say?
Yeah. You know, I tell you the main reason why they do it. They do it because we won't stand up. We won't come together as a collective to stop them. We don't understand the power that we have to stop all atrocities against us. That's what they're used to. If you go back and you look at history, we have a history of coming together one time, random raving, maybe doing a rally, and then everybody goes home. Instead of understanding the real power that we possess, we have to start putting people in positions that we'll have our own best interests at heart. You know, we have to start running for some of these political positions. A lot of times, a prime example, to be a Mississippi representative, the folks that come together once a year for three, 4 months and introduce laws and introduce bills and create laws and make changes that will govern and dictate how you live. All you need is a high school diploma and to be a resident of the state of Mississippi for, I think, 30 to 90 days. I'm not sure about the length of time of to be a resident. That's all you need. Legally, that's all you need to hold office.
Word.
And that's
we
one
all.
Of our main problems right there. That's why they do it. That's why they kill us in the street. That's why they beat our loved ones. That's why they don't feed them, because they know that they can get away with it because, oh, they're just going to be mad for a few minutes. They're going to blow off some steam, but ain't nothing really going to happen. Ain't nothing really going to happen. They'll soon forget about it.
Yeah, that's the history of it. We fight. Where you at, Janae? We working on like 15 minutes before the show closed. I didn't know. I seen the numbers, Janae, but I got your number. Are you here? Hello? Janae?
Hello?
Yeah, listen, we're working on 15 minutes before the show is over, so I'm going to let you and Shay continue on with the show, but I need you, and we'll talk later, Janae, on that, but I need you to give the callers and the viewers any type of information that you would like to give them, any progress or anything, phone calls or whatever that you've made, any type of information that you would like to provide for the show as we close out. And, Shay, we're going to talk about this further too when the show is over with. I look forward to me calling because I need to speak to you concerning getting some things done and add this to this movement that we have right now. With that being said, Janae, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm on my way to Alabama for a funeral.
Word.
And I'm just now getting into the show. But I made a couple of phone calls, but I made more than a couple. But we have a few people that are willing to get on board. I'm going to meet with Stan Mundy. And then also another friend of mine that works for WMPR, Deshaun. I'm going to meet with him Monday. And they're all going to get on board, and then they're going to help us organize some things as far as trying to get fundraisers and stuff started so that we can get some funding and stuff done, just in case we,
word,
you know, have to run across that bridge. But as far as that, I think that's all the information that I have right now because I wasn't prepared. I don't have a notebook or anything with me, but I could definitely, you know, keep Shay informed.
Word, we appreciate that because, and I don't want to reveal it prematurely, but I know the people you're speaking of, and it's going to be a blessing to have these people on board, y'all, because these people are promotion, they are support, and they are, the people that those in the world like listen to daily. I'll say that much. These
yeah,
people are able
and my
in
uncle,
a position to help us.
My uncle owns him, so I talked to him too. So, yeah,
okay.
We got some people behind.
word.
We definitely do.
I don't want you guys to be discouraged, man, because y'all hearing what y'all on ears, you know what I'm saying? We're trying. We're doing everything that we can, and we're using the people that we know to make these things happen, man. Like I said, it's a blessing to have you on the show, Janae. We understand that you're getting ready to go to a funeral right now. Like I said, we send our condolences to your family, so please let them know that. Y'all in our prayers. It's a blessing to have someone like you and Shay Amos on the show, man, and you know what I'm saying, to be front runners for us to get this thing done. So we commend y'all and we you know what I'm saying, we thank y'all for the utmost. You know what I'm saying? My appreciation to you guys on behalf of all these inmates, man. Please keep doing what you're doing and keep us.
Well,
you
will, when you are definitely welcome. You know, like I told Shay, like I told Maybach, I'm in it for the long haul. It is what it is. I mean, things need to change, and they need to change tremendously. And we can't keep sitting back and not letting nothing, you know, not doing nothing about it. And, you know, we're your legs and feet out here. We just need to come together as one, you know, and make sure that we're on the same page and not working against each other so we can go ahead and get everything done and get it done in a timely manner so you all can start to see some type of change.
Word. Y'all, please understand that. Shay, I'm doing a lot of talking too. You can duck off on me. But anyway, y'all, please understand that the people on the outside are the ones that we're really focusing on, because that's where a lot of our support and help is going to come from. So you people that's listening, that's on the outside, we truly need you to contact family members, those people in positions that you know, whether it's somebody that you grew up with in high school that's a politician or that works at MDOC or, you know, somebody that you can get to help. You know what I'm saying? And when I say work at MDOC, I'm not talking about employees or whatever, because they treat them like they hold no merit. You know what I'm saying? Next thing they know, they've been unemployed in line. So we're not talking about them. We're talking about government officials, politicians, people that support a movement and entities that have the power and backing that's going to be recognized as, you know what I'm saying, somebody to be respected when we step forward, because we don't need, I mean, every last voice is needed. Every last individual is needed. Understand that. But as far as calling people that can bring attention to this, there's going to be a time when we need the individuals and the citizens to come together. But we need these individuals and citizens to connect with people that are in position to truly help us, you know what I'm saying, on a level and platform of I'm basically going to say power. And when I say power, I mean, excuse me, y'all, I mean, like I just said, politicians, governors, government officials, things of that nature. You know what I'm saying? It's very important, man. It's very important that y'all do this for us, because, I mean, like, if we don't have these individuals coming online, and like I said, they're only who they are, and they can't do it by themselves. And we get people to help them, we can help these guys, because we're doing all that we can more. It's like I said, it's a blessing to have her and listen on the show. You know, that's a blessing, and you guys get grateful for that. We really need y'all to understand that those on the inside, keep pushing. Don't give up, because you have people fighting. You really have people fighting for you, have people that you don't know anything about, that don't know nothing from you, like my grandma say, from an apple to an orange, don't know nothing about you, but they're willing to fight for you. So you have to fight for yourself. And I commend you guys for being courageous, being this man doing your paper trail. I'm actually to be keep having faith and keep trusting God. Don't ever discourage, man. I mean, hit me up. We can chop it up and talk. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're here. You know what I'm saying? We're doing everything we can. It's not a day that goes by that we don't do nothing concerning the well-being of you guys. So please understand that we're behind the scenes working. We really are.
JP.
Hello?
Hey, you can put our email address out there. And if anybody needs to reach us or has some more information for us, you know, they can definitely leave an email, and we will definitely get back to them.
Come on with it, Janae. Family, take your time saying it this time, please, Janae.
My bad. Families United for Change at gmail.com. Families United for Change at gmail.com.
I promise you all I heard gmail.com. Shay.
Families United for Change at gmail.com.
Okay, that's United for Change at gmail.com. Bam.
Families.
Got it.
United for Change.
Yes. Oh, and United for Families.
Families United for Change. Hello? I think his radio went out. I mean, the broadcast went out.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I think the broadcast went out.
Hey, I fell off again. I told y'all this thing. Did you get the correct email address? Because I missed
it. Families United for Change.
Okay. Okay. Y'all got it. Okay. Okay. Good. Now, that is the information. That is the bim-bim, y'all. You know what I'm saying? So y'all do know that y'all have information. Y'all have information to an email address that y'all can send complaints to, that y'all can give information to, updates or whatever. And we will be contacting y'all, man. We will be responding and corresponding with y'all and giving y'all feedback on those things. And we're going to take this stuff and put it with our paper trail. Please know that. All evidence is useful evidence. So please don't think because you feel like it's something minor, saying it should be overlooked. No. Everything that they do wrong, we put it on the spotlight. Because everything that you guys do, they put it on the spotlight, and they punish you for it. And they punish other innocent inmates, you understand what I'm saying, for this. You know, it's not right. We understand that, you know, it's illegal to have phones. So we're not promoting illegality, but we're saying, like, the stuff that's going on now, you guys don't have no way of letting this be known. And that's part of why I feel they're fighting so hard to get this contraband gone, because they know guys can take pictures. They know guys can send out complaints. They know they can call home and say, man, they just jumped on me. Just like this inmate that's been locked down for 3 days, he's unable to call his family. And if it wasn't for the guys who are able to reach out to his families, then this man probably would lose his life or be in a messed up situation and still suffer. So by the grace of God, man, these guys are able to be able to communicate with family members and stuff, you know, to let these people know, okay, your family member is being mistreated, and this is what's going on. To me, there's nothing wrong with that. You have to understand that, like, everybody is not blessed to have family, and that's what this show is about. We're that extended family that they don't have. And if any of these guys are mistreated, it's going to be like somebody did something wrong to my brother, sister, uncle, cousin, grandma, whatever. You know what I'm saying? That's how we rock it. We rocking with stopping this nonsense. You know what I'm saying? This is a family. The 7th Movement, man, is a family. We not against anything that's righteous. And these guys are striving to become better citizens, man, and better themselves. And they're being resisted upon by these people. Like, it's like they want them to be angry and upset and non-rehabilitated, and that's not going to happen. We're going to shed some light into the situation and put some light into these guys' lives because, you know, you never know if these guys are getting ready to give up or losing hope, especially when they're fighting for their rights and they're doing the right thing and still being mistreated, man. So I do want you people to know that on the outside, you know what I'm saying, and for the guys, especially the guys that's listening, you know what I'm saying, that's able to listen. Man, y'all don't give up. Don't even worry about the outcome, you know what I'm saying, because this is a situation that's been preyed upon, that you have people behind you, you have people that's doing everything they can, and every, like I say, every single piece of information that y'all give us is going to be used, because we're going to not let MDOC squeeze through the cracks this time, which they're notoriously known for. We appreciate the caller who called in and gave his story. We appreciate, let those inmates know that's backing you, man, that we appreciate them too. And that if we can get more and anybody else that want to stand up on your behalf, man, get those letters and those complaints in to the email address. We're gonna push that. We're going to attach that to this. And you keep individually doing everything you can with your paperwork to get this done. Because guess what? We like I said, we're not going to let them get away with it. That's over with. That's over with. You know what I'm saying? The Bim Bim is handling their business. You know, and there ain't no way around that. You feel what I'm saying? Y'all that know me, y'all know the Bim Bim Mill. That is the business. Ain't no way around the Shay. I kind of got Shay talking on some hip side. she know about the Bim Bim here. So she on that business too, y'all. And I appreciate her, and I appreciate you too, Janae. Please, Janae, please be strong. And also stay focused, and we're going to keep backing you just like you're backing us, man, because, like, you're our sister. You know what I'm saying? And by the grace of God,
I am, JP. This is personal for me, too, because my cousin was at Rankin County. And my cousin was complaining about chest pains for 3 days. 3 days. This was 7 years ago. When they finally came to give my cousin some assistance, he was gone. And the jail waited darn near 13 hours to even contact the family and tell us he was gone. It was people like the people on the inside that called us and let us know he wasn't here. So it's bigger, you know what I'm saying? And it's people out here that's willing to fight, you know, that want to help, but they just don't know where to start.
Word. Y'all hear that, man? The Movement 720 is where it starts, y'all. Real talk, you know what I'm saying? That's what we're here for. We're trying to stop situations like she just explained from happening. And we got some soldiers, man, on this team, and some warriors, man, and we're not giving, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, we go to individual battles every single day, but we're coming together as a whole and as a family, man, to make this happen for you guys. So do not get discouraged. Be encouraged, man, and continue to do everything you can. One more time before we go, I need Shay, because we're down to 2 minutes, y'all. Shay, I need you to give out the email address and the Facebook page thing so they can get on there and vote for the group punishment petition. And also, well, we got 2 minutes left. So, and Janae, I want you to shout that out one more time too before we leave, y'all.
Okay, the email address is familiesunitedforchange@gmail.com. familiesunitedforchange@gmail.com.
Word, thank you. What do you want to say? Shay, can you hear me? I think she's texting me now, man. She fell off. Listen, y'all, Sharon Brown on Facebook. There's going to be Sharon and Brown. There's going to be a post on her Facebook page that says something about a petition for stopping group punishment. And I need you guys to get on there. And in the right corner, if anybody's been on Facebook, there's a little upside down arrow there where you can hit that arrow and you can either save that post, you can hide the notification. I think there's a couple more options, but also it says on there somewhere, copy link. You hit copy link, okay? For those who don't know about copy and paste, you hit copy link. And whoever you're trying to get their petition to, you go to their phone number, and in the message box where it says type message, you take your finger and you press down inside that message box where it says type message, and there's going to be a box that pops up that says copy, paste, yada, yada, yada. You press paste, and when you press paste, that copy link is going to appear in that message box. And all you have to do is press send. Again, go in there, hit the upside-down arrow on that post, and go to where it says copy link. You hit copy link. You go to whoever you're trying to send that link and petition to. You press down where it says type message. A box is going to appear that says copy, paste, yada, 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 and you're supposed to hit paste. When you hit paste, that message is going to pop up in your message box. And all you have to do is hit the arrow to send it. And send that to as many people as possible. If you got to forward it, like people that send doing Facebook and messaging, let's do that. Let's start this right now today. We need to get this petition, man, signed, because fortunately we don't have that many signatures, but we need to get. So for all you people that are part of the movement, please do that ASAP, and let's continue to do this, y'all. Do not forget those email addresses. Please give us all the detail and intel that y'all can give us, and we're going to use that to the best of our ability to get an outcome. It's been the Movement 720. I'm your host, OG Henry and Business, my co-host, Sharon Brown, in the zone with us. We appreciate you, Brother Kruger, and you, brother. We love y'all. Goodbye.